Trail straight Killerville, dog, 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 dog. Dog, 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 dog.
Thank you. We are back. Another live from Vietnam Friday. I'm the one and only Paul Masson. I'm joined by Mr. J, who you got the hip hop background going on over there. What's good, man? We love the 90s.
Yeah, man. 90s hip-hop.
We definitely love the 90s.
All day, every day.
So, as usual, we always have guests on this show. We're going to bring on tonight's guest who's been waiting patiently. He was on here before we was on here ready to go. The one and only Cayenne the Lion King. Let's bring him on.
Yo. What's up, fam? How y'all doing?
What's good? Seems to be a lag or something. You hear that, Jay? Like the background?
Yeah, a little bit of lag, a little bit of echo.
How about that right there?
All right.
Gotta put the thing on the loudspeaker, man. It might be the loudspeer. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, I could barely hear them.
Can you boost your volume up any as far as your
Y'all hear me now?
Yeah, it's kind of low, though.
It's kind of low?
Yeah.
I got to get closer to the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
I mean, come on, get live and direct.
See if you can come out and come back in to the studio if that's possible.
Back in, right?
Yeah. Jay, you still there?
Yeah.
How's my audio sound? Everything sounds straight?
Everything sounds good, man.
Okay, I couldn't hear him at all. You couldn't hear him, right?
It was low. It was very low.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on with that, but yeah, it was a little bit low. All right.
Let's see how you. What's good? Oh man, it's real kind of low. Up there you go.
There we go. That's what it looked like.
All right, we good right here.
Yeah.
We can hear you good now.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2.
All right, that's what it is, man. Yeah, we got a mic check that thing. Yeah. How y'all fellas doing, man? Let's talk about it.
All right.
Can't complain, man. Go ahead, Mr. J. Let's get it started.
Yeah, man. Just kind of break it down. Give them a little background on yourself for those people who don't know. You know what I'm saying? We'll go on to some other questions to get a little bit more depth on.
I'm the one and only, you know, Cayenne the Lion King, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I was born in Georgia, man, but, you know, I got a lot of culture behind me, in front of me, around me, you know what I'm saying? Yo, I love doing reggae and hip-hop. I have a fusion of both, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I come from both lifestyles, you know what I mean? So, you know, I incorporated two in my style of lyrics, you know what I mean? Because my lyricist, you know. Sometimes I do hip hop, sometimes I do dancehall, sometimes I do reggae, you know. From Jamaica, they call it a sing J. Somebody didn't know how to sing, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I do my thing, man, and I just do it to the, you know, the utmost, you know, to the fullest, you know what I'm saying? Because, yo, the most I put is here for a purpose, you know what I mean? So we got to do it for the people, you know, because the people can't get educated without people like us, you understand? So he said the revolution won't be televised, and that means that yo, we gotta change people's mind. That's why you won't see it, you know?
And you also you know, we interviewed full disclosure, we interviewed, you know, some years back. And you talked about being a promoter. Kind of give your, you know, background on you know, promoters, the type of shows you did and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, yo, back in the days, you know what I'm saying, you know, I started off promoting. Actually, you know what I'm saying, I started throwing parties and stuff to gather fans, to gain fans for my, you know, listen to my music so I could be able to perform for it, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I don't wait for nobody to put me on, man, when I put on myself, you understand me? You don't look for no handouts. So, you know, what I did was I just started putting out flyers and flooding the streets. And, you know what I mean, that took on a life of its own, you know what I'm saying? So, yo, man, you know, you get 30 here, then that 30 turned to 300, and now you got 400-500 people coming to see you every weekend. Now it done turned into a business, you know what I'm saying? So, you know me, I'm a perfectionist, man, so I just took on the promoter thing, and I just kept pushing that as far as I could push that, because it's a service to the people, man. I was, you know, serving the community, keeping kids and younger cats and stuff out of trouble, man, because they would, you know, I would give them something to look forward to every weekend, you see me? So, yeah, man, that's how the promoter thing jumped off. I did that for 11 years, man. I was on radio too, you know what I'm saying, as a radio disc jockey, you know what I'm saying, at NCCU. I did that for 11 years, you know what I mean? So, you know, I done dabbled in a lot of things, man, to just bring people together. You know, that's what I feel we have to use our talents and gifts for, you know what I'm saying?
Opened up for a couple of other people. I'm just kind of give a little bit of stories about, you know, you're opening up for those different artists.
I mean, your first one, man, I'm going to tell you the truth, man. You know what I'm saying? I got to big up the mind, like, Mad Lion, you know what I'm saying? One of my elders, man, you know, Jatoni, you know, God bless his soul, man. He put me on my first biggest show. The show was so big, you know what I mean? It's like my first big show, opening up for artists, for a big artist. And right then, around that time, Take It Easy was like large, you know what I'm saying, on the radio. I mean, it was a mad thing, you know what I'm saying? So what happened was, you know, I was on my way to the show, and I was getting upset. I was late. I'm sitting up in the car, traffic, you know what I'm saying? My boys was in the car, and then all of a sudden, you know, girls is, you know, hollering and thing, you know what I'm saying? So my boys hanging out the window and thing, they like, yo, y'all going, where y'all going? You know what I'm saying? And the girls were like, yo, we going to the Mad Lion show, you know? And they was like, yo, my man's in the back, you know what I'm saying? He opening up the show, you know? So that turned into a, you know, phone number exchange type situation, you know what I mean? So, yo, Bridget, you know, we finally get there to the spot. Man, it was a place up in Greensboro called Joker's 3. So, man, it was like like 2,000 plus people out there, man. So, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's like, it's my first time stepping on that large of a stage and, you know, displaying my reggae style, you understand? At that time, I had a song called Spoonful of You, you know what I'm saying? So, I went up there, man, and I had some other joints. And one of the biggest memories I remember, man, is when I tell everybody the bus gunshot up in the building, man, it's saying like Beirut up in that blood cloud, yo. So, yo, that was like one of my favorite moments, man. One of my other favorite moments, man, is, you know, touring with Capleton. You know, that was pretty large right there, you know what I'm saying? David Al's crew, got to lodge them up. Love all them brothers to life, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, that right there. One of my big shows. I tell you this one, Baby Sham. I don't know if you know Baby Sham. You know, this is a good story.
Yep.
Yeah, that bridge in there. I remember I was on the radio station, and a lot of guys, you know, they didn't really like me DJ a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Because true, I live over here, but my culture is from over there. You see me? So what happened is, man, I tell this to Baby Sham. Baby Sham say, yo, don't worry yourself, it'll be all right, you know? So they had this place up in Raleigh called Raleigh Live, Bridget. So I go up there, and man, yo, people look at me wicked, like, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't like me rolling with the entourage. So Bridget, Baby Sham get on there, and he tell him, say, yo, my Bridget this, yo, you don't like this Bridget, man, I like that. So, yo, anyway, long story short, he had a song called Fosse. If a Fosse or not like me, suck your mama. Yo, that tune, he said, yo, anybody not like Black Lion, don't call me Black Lion too, you know what I'm saying? Anybody not like, you know, Kai and the Peppers, you know, the Black Lion, yo. Me telling them, suck on them other. And I dropped the Showtime rhythm, man. That shit, man, was so big up in there. And God bless me where I was able to, I don't know the year, probably like 2017. Yeah, around 2017, I was able to, you know, perform up in Raleigh as his opening artist. So that was pretty cool, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of memories with the music, man. And it's like, you know, I can't complain, really, you know. You got struggles in everything, but you have to look at the better things, you know? Yeah.
All right, so I got a question. It says your love for music came from your pops. Can you tell us about him? It says he was a ghostwriter for Atlantic Records in 1963. What can you tell us about your pops?
No. My grandfather, he ghostwrote.
Oh, your grandfather.
Yeah,
okay.
He ghostwrote for Atlantic Records, you know what I'm saying, in the 60s, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? Like, really? Tom Jones, you know what I mean? If you're listening, my boy, you know, he owe us some chicks, you see me? Yo, because you know what happened is, back in the days, you don't know nothing about signing a paper, you just want to get your artistry out there. So, enough of our people got robbed, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I hate that. That's another reason why I go so strong about my music, because, you know, I dedicate that to my grandfather, you see me? So, also, how my dad, you know, he continued his music, you know, he started out the gospel, you know? I did my first record at 8 years old. The band that played in the, played all the instruments and stuff was all of my uncles, you know what I'm saying? And this was in Georgia. That's when I recorded my first record. ironically, I got that same thing is going to be in a documentary. I'll talk about that in a minute, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, you know, the inspiration comes from my grandfather and my father, you know? Because my father, man, his brother used to be around Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, and all them kind of cats, you know what I'm saying? You know, my biggest memory with this brother is, man, I'll be sleep, you know what I'm saying, on my little bunk bed, man. My dad will bring me in the living room. He got some girl he bring up in there, and he just sing to the girl cry bit. You know what I mean? I'll be like, yo. I mean, it was like one of the craziest things I would ever see. And he'll do this like enough times, man. I can't even count no more. You know what I'm saying? And I thought that was real cool. And that's where I got my singing style from, you know? Yeah, because he tell me if I can't make a girl do that, man, I need to go sit down. Yeah.
What can you tell us about your group, the Funky Bushman?
Yeah, the Bushman, man, we started out some cats in my high school, man. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I moved down here from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was already rhyming and stuff like that, man, you know? And, you know, it's like one of those stories, man. You know, you be in high school, you know, get some favorite brothers that you know what I'm saying? You favor, y'all see interests and be friends and stuff like that, and you start writing, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's how that thing linked up. And we did a few songs and stuff and did a nice little tribe, you know? We opened up for De La Soul and Tribe Called Quest, and, you know what I'm saying? And, the rest was history on that part, man. You know, it's just life showed up, you know, on my behalf, you know what I'm saying? I had my first kid, and then, you know, started sighting up my culture, understanding myself and spiritually being connected. And sometimes you just grow, you know, apart, you know what I'm saying? You grow like a pair of jeans, Bridget. You're not going to be able to wear them same ones all the time, you know?
How long you been incorporating the hip hop with the reggae at the same time?
That's what I'm saying. Like, when I start, you know, sight up like Rastafari, you know what I'm saying? When I say sight up, that means when I start seeing myself and learning myself and not understanding, but overstanding a lot of things and how life work and how you connected with the Most High and your ancestors. You know, that's when the dialect, you know, I call it liverlek, you know, we don't want them thing that they die, you know? So what happens when that come, yo, man, it's like, I don't know, just like it took over, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the culture that we live, it have to be dealt with abundantly, and you have to deal with it proper, because I'm not going to say it. That's just like they teach us to speak Spanish in school. If you're going to be bilingual. I'm not going to joke with the thing, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that's what happened. You know, I started doing a lot of studying, and whatever you think, you always attract. So I always attract culture, you know, and so I started learning Amharic, you know what I mean? That's an Ethiopian language, you know what I'm saying? I learned they would call it broken English, or we call it patois, you know what I mean? So I started like learning a lot of that stuff right there, and then start being a part of me. So this is my way of paying homage to it, you know what I'm saying? And that's when I kind of started, like, you know, I say in my 20s, you know. Yeah.
I got another question before Mr. J goes, but do you think we could use more hip hop and reggae collabs? I mean, we haven't had a ton of those through history, I don't think, anyways.
Yeah, we have, man. We have, yo, Cardinal.
We've had
Busta Rhymes.
We have some, but not a ton.
Yeah, well, see,
I definitely love Cardinal Official. I love some Cardinal Official. Yeah, a lot of cats don't know about him.
Yeah, my bridge in that, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. His Firestarter album was wicked, man. You can't, it's tough. You put it in a nice sound system, man. Yeah. But I think it doesn't even take the artist to collab all the time either. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just like with a lot of my shows, depending on the kind, type of show it is, I might put on a reggae joint, you know? And I got a song that's called, it's big called Lyrics. Lyrics, Kaya and the Lion King comes in. So if I'm going in a kind of ragged, like a rough kind of crowd, I do lyrics on the dance hall beat. I wouldn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? It messes them up. They be like, yo, what the hell is that? And then my fans that normally hear it on the hip hop beat, the boom bap joint, they be like, oh man, I know this ain't a remix. You know what I'm saying? That's just like I got a big tune called Ding Ding Ding, right? Man, that song took off like crazy. So I could have put it on a dancehall beat, man. Like, dun, 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 yo, ding, 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 ding. I ain't do that. I put it on this hard boom bap beat. That junk go, bum, So it's like an anthem, you know what I'm saying? So it gave a different effect. So a lot of times, you know, to answer your question, I don't think it needs to be like the artist themselves, but I think we had a ton of collabos when it comes to the music, the you know, the words, the arrangements, and the artists that they're putting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that evens it out. You see me?
Definitely. I wanted to go kind of expound on the your thoughts on the promoter side, as far as we had a discussion or certain things were floating around social media about artists, independent artists, and promoters paying independent artists to do shows. What are your thoughts about that, and what do you think? Do you think there should be some kind of some kind of way we deal with one another's artists and promoters and things of that nature?
Well, personally, you know, I mean, I don't care if I lift a piece of paper and take it to the next room. You're paying me, you know. You know what I mean? If I brought that paper, you know what I'm saying? If a man do a work, a woman do a work, you'll pay them, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't know it's harder for us to be able to take one thing and move it to the next place because you don't have what they call a team or a unit to help you move that. You understand what I'm saying? So the promoter to me needs to be the team or the unit. Enough time, I'm telling you, man, some of these artists bust, you understand? Because I would take an artist, I don't want you to pay me nothing, man. I'm gonna put you on stage. I'm a graphic designer too. So I did all my flyers, you know what I'm saying? So I would go literally meet that youth, cause I know he probably don't have the money to do the professional photographers, you know? So I would take a picture of them myself, take that home, and I put them on the flyer as if they a big, top artist, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what that does to the morale to a next month, you know what I mean? You know, I'm trying to teach these kids, you know, as well as the elders, how to fish, you understand? Because it may be a day I need food too, you understand? So to answer your question, I think in the fullness is, it's not the promoter's responsibility to move your music, but it's your responsibility to move the promoter. You understand what I'm showing you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know.
And also, of course, big up to the Herb Train movie.
Loved
being there and being a part of it and being able to see everything.
Yeah,
even though, you know, I was like a blink, you know what I mean? But it's definitely a great experience. How do you feel about the whole movie production thing and how things are going on in the state?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you know, I give thanks to be able to have the ability to bring a vision together, you know? Because I had a lot of people who's like, yo, man, this man ain't making no full feature movie and blah, blah, blah. But you can't listen to them. You have to listen to yourself. You're your best competition, you know what I mean? So when it comes to the Herb Train, man, it was an opportunity to, because I'm a real serious bridging, you know what I'm saying? I'm serious about me talking to you guys, you know what I'm saying? Because life is life, you know what I'm saying? And it's an opportunity that you guys have, you know, presented to me. And I pray and you know, pray the blessings of this whole moment push y'all forward to be successful. You understand what I'm showing you? The thing is, with that movie, it gave me an opportunity to bring in certain people from my community that has been supporting me since day one, Bridget. Like, these are people that haven't took in one day of acting class. They trusted everything I said, man. You know what I mean? Like, to show that loyalty, to receive that loyalty from the community, and they trusted me to not put them on a big platform to be laughed at or judged or anything, man, that's like the biggest thing to me, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I love all them cats for that shit. You know what I'm saying? So the other thing is, you know, that's really, really big. I took my sons, you know what I'm saying? I took them, I said, yo, you know, one in particular, he wanted to do film because he was getting in trouble all the time. I said, yo, Bridget, you pick up this camera, I'll show you how to take this camera and do something with it. And that's a big thing that I did, you know, because it kept that man, you know, straight, got him graduated out of high school, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So along with that, his brothers, was right there and showed him, you know, they support him. They support me. They got his back. I remember one of my sons, he looked at me, you know, and, you know, he was kind of teary-eyed. He's like, yo, dad, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth, man. Like, I ain't know what the hell you were telling us to do. He said, yo, I was just doing being a good kid and did what you told us to do, you know. And he said, now that I see what you was talking about, he was like, man, you know, that took him to another plateau to be able to visualize. You know what I'm saying? That man right now is up in UNC and doing all kind of scientific shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's the biggest thing about that movie, besides it being able to be looked at upon the world. And I got like 40 different awards and trophies and stuff like that from different countries, man. Like it just took on a life of its own. So my thing with that movie is just to let people know that, yo, man, like you can do whatever you want to, man. As long as you visualize it, you can materialize it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I think that's about it right there. Besides, you know, I was able to cut the fool up. You know what I mean? I used to cut up in school and be a funny nigga too. You know what I'm saying? I don't know funny nigga shit, but you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I used to be, you know, I got some jokes for a motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm going to say this. I got to mess with myself because, you know, through certain stresses from being in charge of so much, you know what I'm saying? And things start taking, you know, place. You have to try to keep things in place. You gain weight, you know what I'm saying? And that's one of the things that really pissed me off about myself. Because you know how niggas be like, yo, that nigga let himself go, you know? But see, my way of looking at that and dealing with that was, I say, yo, because I laugh at myself. Because I ain't gonna lie, you know, big guys in school. One of the guys from the Bushman, you know, he was a big guy. You know, I used to pick on him and stuff. And then when I realized I got overweight, I call him, you know what I mean? I say, yo, Bridget, you know, like, them fat jokes, man. You know, I had to apologize. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, yo, man, ain't nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
Man.
Nah, man, because I can't, yo, that was some cruel shit I was saying. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I realized it because now God is using that opportunity to show me that, yo, man, like, you have to always look through somebody else's eyes when you're dealing with stuff, you know? Yeah, so I was able to laugh at myself.
All right, quickly before you get out of here, let's talk about talk about your new projects and what you have going on.
Well, I got, you know, the Epidemic, man, I dropped that in 2020, 2021. I still got some new videos we're doing. One of my favorite joints on that, it's called It's Me. I think, yo, y'all, I'm going to put some money behind that joint. Y'all going to love that shit, man. If you like The Shining and shit like that, yeah, you're going to love that video, man. Okay. So I got that right there. You know, I still got to release the soundtrack to The Herb Train. And I got to big up my brethren, Sadat X. He's on that soundtrack. I got to big up Peter Pablo. He on that soundtrack. You know, Vanessa Ferguson, one of my Wu-Tang brethren, you know what I'm saying? He's on that joint right there. And you know, it's like, you know, it's real dope, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's about to drop. And my biggest thing that I'm working on right now is my documentary, you know? So that's supposed to drop sometime next year. So after that drop, you know, yeah, it's time for me to get back on that stage, man, and see my people again, you know what I mean? Word up.
Hopefully we get a chance to, you know, get you down here to Fayetteville so we can, you know, chop it up and get some things done and do some
You connect. Already know. And I appreciate you bringing me that one time you did, Bridget. You know what I'm saying? It's always love, man. Trust me. Whenever you see me, just know it's love, man. You know my brother, you know what I'm saying? Real talk. Yep.
It's a real deal. Anybody you want to shout out before you get out of here?
I mean, yo, man, I'm just shout out the Moonside, you know what I mean? My ancestors. I'm going to shout you brothers out and keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate it.
You need me, you call me, you know what I'm saying? You know, just shout out my family, Most Def, you know what I mean? Most Life, you understand? All my people around the world, country, all the states, yeah, because there's so many people to say thank you to, you know. Shit, man, I'll be here till, you know, next year, you know? So I just want to say, yo, I love everybody and appreciate you because I'm going to keep doing what I do, man. You see me flop, man, something wrong. Yeah. Come me gonna stand tall and big and broad. You understand that? Cause Kaya and the Lion King, you don't know. Yeah.
Definitely. Appreciate you. Hope to get you on my documentary as well. So
yeah, man.
We'll work some now.
And we also do the music reviews on Saturdays. So if you got something new for us, send it over.
I got you, Bridget. I got you. All right.
Appreciate you.
All right.
Have a all nice right, night, man.
All right, you too, man. One love here.
All right.
Bless up.
Peace. All right, you heard it. Kyan the Lion King. Very interesting cat. Damn, I didn't know he got that many awards for his movie, man.
Yeah, man.
And he got a song in there when we was doing the story post that I really, really liked. Had a dope-ass beat. Well, we're going to get to a quick Dizzle break, and we're going to be right back.
Got me addicted, ain't no coke. Let's just have a toast. Anybody want some smoke? Cause it's up, I be dizzled up. Catch me sipping with my double cup. Can't just have one, you gotta double up. You pour it, gotta watch it bubble up. I ain't gon' lie, I cannot get enough. What Caddy said, I need another one. Gon' have you coming back for more. But go get it while it's hot. Won't be sold out in your store. That dizzle.
That's right, I really mean it. You could Dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave, tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. So you Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. Go to DizzleBrand.com. We got the new cans, as you see right here. Of course, right. The Dizzle brand bottle. So if you don't Dizzle, I don't know what to tell you. Jay, we didn't really have a topic, but it's something I kind of want to discuss. The Lord Jamar and Kara is one thing.
All right.
We mind, you don't mind discussing that?
Let's talk about it.
As far as if Lord Jamar is right and Kara is one's wrong, I agree Lord Jamar is probably right to a sense. But it's still, this is my issue. I think it's very divisive. For hip hop, you know what I'm saying? I don't think we need anything that's going to divide hip hop and those artists from that era. Cause you know, people are going to pick sides. And I didn't know what was really going on until I saw like a post from Adolf Aguilar about being like a guest to hip hop. I was like, damn, what's going on here? And then I started to figure out, you know, doing some research that I guess Lil Jamar said disagreed with Karis one about Puerto Ricans helping start hip hop. Now, and then they said something about Jamaicans too, but I thought, what was Kool Herc?
Kool Herc was Jamaican.
Okay.
His lineage is Jamaican. I think really the issue for me when they start that stuff, it's really kind of trivial. I mean, if we want to get down to the brass tacks and get real in the mud on stuff, the reality is, if we want to get real, real heady about it, scientifically, everybody from Africa. So the bottom line is, what are you arguing about? The drums that come out of the Caribbean, regardless of whether they're Latin or, you know, direct African influence, they all come from Africa. They all come from West Africa. The lineage of Puerto Ricans is partial African. Yeah, you have the Taino Indians and you have Spaniards, but the reality is, it's African. So, I mean, you're really arguing semantics. You're not really, it really doesn't make sense. Yes, Puerto Ricans have a heavy influence when it comes to b-boying, when it comes to even DJing.
Yeah.
Tony Touch. Like, how do you separate
doo-wop?
DJ doo-wop. You know what I'm saying? It's I don't know. It's the argument for argument's sake, really, to me. Like,
you got Fat Joe, Big Pun. I mean, it was a lot we were naming the other day, man. I mean, there's a lot of Hispanic and Latin rappers and just DJs and break dancers. Crazy Legs was, if I'm not mistaken, was he Puerto Rican?
Yeah, Crazy Legs, Puerto Rican. I mean, like I said, it's an argument for argument's sake.
And this is another thing. It's like, are we only going to take one element of hip hop and just say that dictates all the other elements? Because I thought like hip hop was made up of multiple elements. And it's like, I even saw Psycho Les posted something about some brothers from the 60s that were rapping and stuff. He's like, yeah, Puerto Ricans wasn't there from the start. I'm like, but why we got to make an argument about this, like, out of the blue? Like, so, I mean, sometimes I think if you disagree with a cat, you ain't necessarily got to get on a video and you know. You could just maybe post something on Twitter or something. Yeah, I don't really agree with that. But when you start getting in, post a video, you get in the context, and, you know, I don't know, man.
It's really, not, like I said, to me, it's nonsensical. I mean, the very tenets of hip-hop is peace, love, unity, and safely having fun. How is that go to any one of those tenants? You sitting here arguing about who did this, who did that. You know, you might have semantic arguments, you know, when it comes to historical stuff, what timeline did it fall on? People say hip hop started in 73. Some people say it started, you know, other historians or individuals who were actually there say it started earlier. You know, you can get into all kinds of semantic arguments about, you know, when this started, who did what. Just appreciate the culture and honor the people who are in it. We waste too much time, too much energy, hating, being, you know, adversarial, no reason whatsoever, when we got a culture here that is so inclusive. He talked about, you know, doing promotions and stuff like that, and in different places. And when I interviewed him years ago, he talked about, you know, doing shows at Cat's Cradle and stuff like that. I went to see KRS-One at Cat's Cradle.
I did too.
And I spoke to a guy, me and my brother were both there. We spoke to a guy who you never would have thought would have been at a KRS-One show. You, biker guy, had a biker vest on, all this other stuff. And they're like, what is he doing? One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
But talked about closing his biker bar down on the coast and coming to see KRS-One because he was one of his favorite rappers. Where in the world does that ever happen? And what other genre do you bring somebody that, you know, visually opposite in with other people? All kinds of different backgrounds, all different races, all different, you know, religious backgrounds, mental mind states, all vibing to one thing.
That, yeah, I don't think rock, pop, and country is as diverse as a hip hop concert. I remember we went to the DJ premiere up at Raleigh. And it was like a sardine can in there. It was like a two-story joint. It was a little upstairs part and then mainly downstairs. But it was like every race of people that you could think of was in there, man. I mean, we couldn't have been missing a race of person. I don't know what it was. And it was crazy. It was like, it was one of those shows, like, if your shoes got scuffed up and stepped on, I mean, oh, well, man, it's DJ Premier. it was that diverse, man. I mean, you had Hispanics, whites, blacks, Asians. I mean, a lot of females there too, you know. Yeah, man, I just don't know. I just think, like, it's not good. Like, y'all making something out of nothing. Y'all need to be working together. You know, because we ain't going to be here for the next 50, you know, the 100 years of hip hop. We all going to be gone for that shit. And that, there ain't no telling how ugly that's going to look. That's going to be headlined by Sexy Red.
Please, no.
Please that's gonna be headlined by Sexy Red, yo.
Don't let it happen. At least not Sexy Red as she is today. She might mature between now and then, but don't let it be this Sexy Red.
I don't know, man. Some people, man, they gotta play that part forever. I was watching reruns of Counts Customs, and you got Elvira on there. Elvira plays that part forever. Some people, like, when that's the only character they got that they can make money off of, you know, they say the Macho Man played the Macho Man everywhere he went.
Yeah, man, he was true kayfabe.
Yeah, brother. He was at home. They said he'd be at home with his wife playing Macho Man still. It's like, yo, wow, that's crazy. Like, at some point, you got to stop playing the character, right?
You got to give it up, man. You know, can't be out there asking food or whatever. Your wife asks you, you want a pot roast, and you're going, Hulk Hogan's the pot.
Oh, yeah. Let me get a pot roast, brother.
I told you Hulk Hogan was the pot.
I never liked Hogan, man. Yo, before we go, man, I know it ain't music related, but Bronny James to the Lakers, 55, a lot of uproar. What do you think?
As a, you know, a son of a father who is no longer around or no longer here, who's worked with his father before, I think it's kind of dope. You know what I mean? From that aspect. But it's going to be interesting to see how he comports himself. I mean, he's somebody who did the work. You can't say he didn't do the work. He's done the work. I mean, literally a year ago, he had a heart attack, and who knew if he was even going to have a career or he was even going to be here.
Yeah, and I think that still weighs in the back of a lot of people's minds, like, you know, he have one again and shit?
It's we have to see what the next level of Bronny James brings, and if that means, you know, he's going to be at least a decent role player. He's not.
I would have liked him to get drafted at some other team, though, man.
Yeah, I mean, as a Lakers
fan, and get out of his father's shadow, because even LeBron said it on the barbershop. He regrets naming him Junior, because he just put a lot of pressure on him. Michael Jordan didn't name his kids Juniors.
No, well, as was one son was named Jeffrey, I believe, if I'm correct.
But I don't think it was a Junior.
Wasn't a Junior, but you know, they were still in his shadow, and his daughter pretty much.
I mean, they were. Any kids are gonna be in their parents' shadow when they're that huge, you know.
Yeah, because your parents cast the shadow, you know, like the whole universe at that point.
But in something like the NBA, where, like, you really got to produce, man, on the court, man, you know, or you could be out like that. You know how the NBA is. All they care about is, can you shoot threes?
Yeah, especially now.
What's your three-point percentage?
Especially now.
It's like you could play, you could be, unless you're Rudy Gobert, everybody else is like, all right, you could play defense, you could rebound, but can you shoot threes?
I'm just like, I don't know. I'm a Lakers fan. I'm just not, I don't have high expectations. I mean, I've been a fan since, you know, literally since I was a little kid, and Pat Riley was the coach, and, you know, then going through Randy Fund, Dale Harris, you know, before Shaq got there, seeing the ups and downs, see how long it takes to get back to, you know, championship status. And it's bothering me to no end, because, you know, the most hated rivals just got a chip. So it's,
oh, so you're a Lakers fan?
Yeah.
You know, this is another thing, man. Like, I don't know that it's a really good look for the league. And I think there might be an investigation behind this, because if it's true that Rich Paul called up and texted all these teams, like and these GMs, and said, "Don't draft Bronny or he'll go to Australia." Like, I don't, they might be investigating that, the league, man. They might have to find the Lakers or something.
I don't know.
Because, like, I seen a post about the dudes averaging 16 and 17 a game, man, and didn't even get drafted. It's like, I get it. I guarantee there's some more qualified players out there that should have got drafted. And, like, how is he the highest paid player in college basketball, and he was averaging 5 points a game, man?
I don't know if he was.
That's that the name high. Only. That's the name only.
He wasn't, you know what I'm saying? He's drafted at 55. They drafted him at 55. That's ceremonial. You know what I'm saying? He could have basically been signed by the Lakers at that point. You know what I'm saying? Just a 10-day deal or you know, a G League two-way deal or something. It, you know, at that point, he's not. It would have stunk if he was drafted at like one.
Man, they could have still not drafted him and just signed him when he went undrafted, and actually picked a player that was a better asset.
I don't think that in this draft, I don't think there was that much that was a better asset. The top three players are three. Well, between three and five. Were three of those five were from France.
I can give you that. And the only reason that I can give you that is Bronny James might be the one of the best assets in this class because of his name. That he's probably going, you know, it's going to be must watch TV. People are going to be, he's going to be under a microscope. They're going to want to see what he can do and whatnot.
Yeah, but well, they're going to want to see if the Lakers are going to be contenders.
That too. You got JJ Redick over there as a coach. Now that's going to be, the whole thing is going to be under a microscope. Bronny James, JJ Redick, still got to see if they're going to get rid of D'Angelo Russell, which I would if I was them. Like, if they keep him, what do you think?
I would have just jettisoned him like a bad batch of cookies.
I know, right?
Like, you didn't show up. You didn't show up. When LeBron wasn't playing, all of a sudden you having 40-point nights.
Well, he always does that. He always does that. Yeah.
LeBron shows up and then you disappear.
Yeah.
Go play on the Wizards or something. Go play. I mean, nobody.
I can't believe they brought him back because of the Kobe Bryant shit, though. And you remember, like, the shit with the Kobe Bryant and old boy, where you remember he was filming about like somebody cheating or something like that?
Yeah,
I would have got rid of him. D'Angelo Russell, man, is.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
I forgot who would. I know Kobe was on the team then, but I forgot who was involved. And they traded him because he was snitching on dudes on the team.
Yeah. I think he was recording people. Like,
yeah, he was recording people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to holler at chicks or some shit like that or something.
I don't know. Like, you should be more focused on your game than trying to be TMZ. Like, come on, man.
Hey. Blue, hey, how you doing? Appreciate you tuning in. We got about to hit the 50-minute mark. I don't know if you want to just wrap it up with some shout-outs, call it a night, or what?
I think we got get into it. Trying to find one more thing. I thought I had a topic here.
Yo, we got Punchline next week.
Yeah, Punchline's in next week.
I gotta do my homework on him. I know some about him, but not
Wordsworth.
I know Wordsworth. Yeah,
he's trying to
master ace.
Hit him back. So, you know, we'll try to, it's at least half a dozen people that want me to try to hit him back. And, you know, grown folks, we both talked to Pace One.
Pace One said he'll do it. He's just, they waiting on the album to drop.
So you know, hopefully that album will drop soon. And we can try to get them on.
And I got some more Smoother Hustle clips about to drop and whatnot. We've been getting a lot of good views and a lot of good engagement off the Smoother Hustle clips. Shouts out to my man Smoother Hustle and everybody else we done interviewed as well. UG, Cellar Dwellers, DV Alias Christ, Hakeem Green, Channel Live, Mickey Fax, DJ Chuck T, Lenny Williams, TF Cutton, Blase Blase. I know I forget somebody. Oh, Rex and Supreme the Elohim representatives, Boot Camp Click. And of course, Cayenne the Lion King, as we had earlier. You know what's crazy? Like, we definitely need more reggae and like hip hop artists like that, man. We need more collaborations with reggae artists and just rappers and shit, because you can't go wrong with reggae, yo.
I mean, that's a dope thing. I mean, that's in the DNA of hip hop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with reggae.
Cool Herc, and it's just definitely one of those things where you really need that energy. And I think that's been missing, you know what I'm saying? New artists have been searching for that energy. And that's why we're getting what we're getting, but it's just not where it needs to be yet.
Blue said, just submitted. We'll be doing music reviews tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. I will make sure we'll load that up in Blue and get you on that review. Appreciate you. Yeah, I wish I could do reggae music.
I don't know. We'll see.
I'd be dropping the whole reggae albums. That's the thing. Like, when I was on Top 7 to 7 for that 1 week that I went Top 7 to 7 back in the days, like, they took me out with a reggae track. I like these motherfuckers. There ain't no way they about to vote for me against the reggae track. I'm about to vote for the reggae track, man. What the fuck? It's like, that shit ain't fair, man. I'm gonna call up and vote against myself and shit. Yeah, this is Paul Masson. Let me get that reggae track. What? Yeah, dude, it's reggae.
When we had Ice Hot at top six at six when 104.5 was doing it, I think the only person who took us out was somebody else, you know, out of our clique. Shout out to 190 Proof, who's locked up.
Oh, they put somebody from your crew up against you?
Yeah, well, you know, saying he was doing his own thing with Liquidation. Liquid Store Productions. So he, you know what I'm saying? But we were still cool at the time. You know what I'm saying? But that's what took, I think, I don't even remember if it was the group Ice Hot single from the Empire or was my single joint. But that's what took us down at that time.
Yeah, man, I ain't gonna say no names, but I took out a former Live Prophet and I'm cast member 8 to 2. But we're not gonna say no names, 8 to 2. You know, if you listen to the Vietnam Business, there might be a little reference to that. 8 to 2 bitches. It is what it is. I mean, it's just the truth. It's just facts, that's all.
Well, this is what I wanted to get into. I just found it. They were talking about the freshman, you know, the freshman class of 2024.
Oh, and, okay. What about it? I saw people like shitting on it.
Well, you know, they're always trashing it. You know, the only few people I kind of mess with or kind of really have heard is like Skilla Baby, Mexican OT, Four Bats. And Four Bats is a singer, so I don't even understand how Four Bats got on that list of, you know, what's supposed to be rapper, you know, freshmen. You know, and you have some other cats who are out, like, you know, other MCs who are out, who have been out longer, who didn't, you know, make that freshman list. So I don't know. It's always downhill. I don't think they've had a good freshman list since probably 2010 or maybe 2010, maybe 2011.
That'd be a good topic of like, what's the best freshman list and whatnot.
But one of the sub things that we're talking about is our streamers and podcasters ruining hip hop.
Oh, I saw that. That's where that came from.
Yeah, that's where that came from.
How are they ruin? How are streamers, when they say streamers, what do they mean? Like internet streamers, Twitch streamers, and
yeah, all of it, all of it,
and gaming streamers. So they think podcasters are dictating what people listen to.
I think so, or either.
How are podcasters dictating what people listen to?
That's my question. I mean, people are still, you know, regardless of what people say, people are still even listening to radio. So you got all kinds of different influences from terrestrial radio to satellite radio to podcasting and streaming, where people can kind of pick their own playlists. So I don't. That's
okay. Well, we can already take podcasters out. We can take podcasters out because podcasters. I mean, what podcasters are you talking about, anyways? Like, what podcasters are streaming a lot of mainstream music that I don't know about? I thought all the big podcasters were actually just talking like we are and shit right now, and just doing interviews and. And creating content like that. Now, let's get into the streamers, gaming streamers. Now, we do know who dominates YouTube. Gamers.
Gamers, yeah.
Who dominates Twitch?
Gamers.
Gamers. I mean, if you want to talk about YouTube and Twitch, but
I think the only podcaster they would be able to even talk about is what's the old dude's name?
Who?
He was on that We the People when it was on Revolt.
Who are you talking about?
Wackademics. DJ Wackademics.
Academics? But is he dictating what people listen to?
I think he has, you know, some people's ear. You know, he champions certain artists and certain people he goes at just kind of get views.
Is he champion just trash artists? Or what we would deem as trash artists or whack artists or
case of point, you know, snitch nine. So that was his buddy. They were out there, you know, hanging out by the pool, all that.
Did he there's
a few other artists.
All due respect, man. 6ix9ine had a few tracks that I like, man. I definitely like the joint he did with 50 Cent and Uncle Murder. He had a voice, man. And sometimes when you just got a voice, that can get you in the door alone, man. You know that, man. You know a voice alone sometimes can get you in there.
Yeah. But he had no real bars. A lot of it, you know.
Everybody ain't trying to spit bars, though, man. That's the thing, man. Y'all keep trying to throw this bars label on people. Y'all, they did that with Post Malone.
It's called rap.
Everybody ain't trying to spit bars though, man.
They got to at least be able to rap. I mean, he was making a lot of nonsense. I mean, it was a joint that, you know, I liked when he first came out. When the joint, he was on the stoop with everybody and all the Bloods was out there and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I thought he was going to be like somebody who kind of mature a little bit and maybe be like the next Onyx, or, you know, me even get Onyx on that track. But it was all hype.
I think, like, you can't really, we keep trying to put this bars label on these modern day rappers, man. They don't care about bars, dude. They don't even, like,
how do you call
understand that shit. Rap? That's the thing. Like, I think rap culture is really its own thing now, man. Cause now you got so many subgenres of rap, emo rap, sad rap. It's its own thing now. You know, it's like Psychics branched off, you know what I'm saying, and said, yo, we ain't trying to be part of you, hip-hop. We're going to do our own thing. We got sad rap, emo rap. We got drill rap. We got trap rap. What do you want? Keep it going. We got it.
Yeah, you know, UK grime.
Yeah, I mean.
But, I mean, you know, at least a lot of these people can rap. You know, their lyrics rhyme at some point. His was kind of like, you know, we just out here doing whatever. Do whatever feels good.
It worked for a while, man. And that's the thing, man. I mean, at some point, some amount of people had to gravitate to it. I mean, if you got a record with 50 Cent and Uncle Murder at some kind of point in your career, you got to be doing something right at that point in your career.
You knew how to get people on his side.
That was the right two cats to have on your side at that time. At that time, that was the right two cats to have on your side. 50 Cent and Uncle Murder. I'm telling you.
And that's the craziest thing. Like, he didn't want to be a rapper. He wanted to do fashion. And he didn't ever really listen to hip hop. He was more rock. So, I mean, for people who didn't understand that and don't really see it, I advise people to go see Deconstructing 6ix9ine. I think it was on Stars or Showtime, one or the other. And it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting documentary about how he kind of ascended and how, you know, he eventually kind of fell off and got caught up in a lot of hype. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's an interesting tale to see, and kind of a cautionary tale, especially for a lot of people who decide they want to get caught up in the hype. You can see how it goes bad.
Yeah, but sometimes when people say, people's definition of fell off isn't really what would be like our definition of fall off. Totally. You get what I'm saying? Like the normal person fall off. Mm-hmm. Like he might have fall off from like being in the limelight, but it still doesn't mean that he's not generating revenue from something.
He's got to generate revenue or something to keep people off his backside. So,
yeah. All right, we're gonna wrap it up. Any shout outs before we go?
Yeah, man. Shout out BTS. Shout out Kion the Lion King. Shout out Black Watch. We trying to get some stuff together, man. I know we've got a lot going on, so hopefully we'll be able to get that interview very soon. You know what I mean, shout out to the Empire. We getting ready to work on a track for the soundtrack as well, for the Underground Experience, and I'm trying to get a new cut. You know what I'm saying, a new trailer, so we can show the new trailer, put on anything on it, and we can get that spinning again. Of course, shout out to you.
Appreciate it. Well, first I want to say fuck Spotify. You're dead. You're dead. That's the thing. If I say I'm not doing Spotify promotion no more, that should mean everybody should just like call it quits on the Spotify shit.
Hey, what you call it? What's the name? Lost 26 million?
Who?
Girl. Ice Spice. Lost 26 million. 26
How's that?
Million followers. 26
from what?
Million followers for on Spotify.
From what? What caused that?
Looks like she just doesn't have the momentum she had when she first came out.
And they all unfollowed her? Or do you think was that bot accounts that got removed?
To me, it's six dozen in one hand. You know, one, you know, half dozen in the other, you know what I'm saying? Because she didn't have the real substance to keep her above water anyway. And I don't know. She's getting ready to drop an album and it might go double.
But
wood.
Who loses 26 million followers at once?
People who don't have a lot of substance.
Nah, that's not
whether you pay for it or not, you're gonna have to have some kind of momentum to keep you somewhere in that area.
I don't care what rap. I haven't seen none of these rappers come out where 26 million people decide to unfollow them. Like, they just stop. They just stop. They just stop checking. They just stop checking, Jay. When you lose 26 million followers at once, man, there's one or two things that happen. You took some kind of probably political stance that people didn't like, or you probably had a bunch of bots that got removed from Spotify.
But and I think a lot of people didn't like her anyway to start with.
People, that's the thing, man. People don't, 26 million people don't unfollow you. They just stop checking for you. So when you lose that many followers at once, it's not because of the music. It's because you took some kind of stance that people don't like, that rubbed them the wrong way. It's kind of like the baby effect. You know what I'm saying? He lost all those a lot of followers because of that shit he said on stage. How many millions of followers you think he lost?
I don't know.
It had nothing to do with his music. It had everything to do with what he said on stage. But I guarantee you, he didn't lose no 26 million.
No.
That's cool. I'm thinking there was a lot of bots, man, going on up in there, man. Thinking they botted her account up, make it look bigger than it was, and Spotify did some spring cleaning on these inactive accounts, and a bunch of followers dropped. Because I don't care how whack your album is, man. Nobody's just gonna get that. How many followers total does she have?
I'm not sure. I would venture to guess it's probably, you know, was in the like 30,000 to 40,000 range. 40 million range.
Probably. That's crazy. Like, that can't be because of your album. That has to be something else. Nobody gets unfollowed that much unless it's something that, like she said. She took some kind of stance.
I mean, these kids are finicky. You know what I'm saying?
She probably took a stance on Israel or Palestine or some shit. I don't know. You never know, man. I ain't being funny, man. I'm being serious. Like, you can't even get into the middle of those things. You got to, like, when people want you to take a side. Yo, you got to hit him. With, my name's Paul, and that's between y'all. You know,
hit him with the Heisman. Hit him with the Heisman.
Like, I don't even want to pick a side, man. Like, Michael Jordan said it best, man. Republicans buy shoes too, and they also watch podcasts just like Democrats. So I'm not. Well, I do pick a side with that, actually. But we ain't. It's all good. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Shit. Damn. Who we got tomorrow? We got Gazner the Artist tomorrow before the music reviews. Check us out 5 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern every Friday. You know how we do. Peace, and we out.
Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.